Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Monday, July 30th, 2018. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we are on page 88, finishing up into action. Reading two paragraphs, the last two paragraphs, beginning with, "We alcoholics are undisciplined through entirely devoted to step 12, and we're commenting on both paragraphs today. Today's readers are Leslie M. for the 12 steps, Melissa C.K. for the 12 traditions, Kathy Jo P., Kathleen O., and Ginger C. And Melanie C. is our newcomer greeter today. The reference number for the 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time special edition yesterday, July 29, 2018, is 11719. That's 11,719. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for July 30th, Monday, 2018, is 11721. That's 11,721. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Leslie M. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for your service. This is Leslie M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Leslie M., for your service. And I'll now ask Melissa C.K. to do service by reading the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, fellow visionaries. This is Melissa C.K. calling in from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Grateful recovering compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks so much for allowing me to do service. I pass.
Thank you very much, Melissa C.K. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 88, reading the second and final paragraph, and I will ask Kathy Jo P. to please begin reading.
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Thank you.
Wonderful. We alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. But this is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. So this, at first I thought, where is the second paragraph when I was asked to read two today? And I see that these are two small paragraphs just jam-packed with so much important information, and just what we need to do, direction. So the first paragraph, we alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us. And that discipline happens in the steps before this, in 10, 11. I'm getting a frog in my throat, just a minute. Sorry about that. I do not know where this just came from. I remember one time when I called my sponsor when I started this process and I was late. She told me that if I was not willing to follow her direction and meet with her when she needed to meet with me, or when she set aside the time, that perhaps she should find someone else that wants to work with her. And she said, "Do you know why I want to work with you?" And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Because if I don't do it, I'm going to die." And to me, she was helping me become more disciplined, and she was sticking to being disciplined by following these directions. And I'm not going to say today I'm still disciplined, but I can tell you I am learning to be disciplined. And that includes checking in at 8:55 my time when I'm a reader. I never was on time for anything, and I wasn't able to follow directions very well at all. And these directions are very simple. I love the saying, trust God, clean house, help others. That's basically what the directions are. And we are on a very important mission, and it is a life and death errand. There's a saying that is, I eat, we stay abstinent. And this is a we program where we work together, we work with others. I don't think there's very many meetings where when someone asks for a sponsor, that there would be not a sponsor for someone other than this meeting. I've never seen it in my life where there's no one available. It's like me, pick me. I'm here for you. I can help you. And that is just incredible. But again, the discipline that we follow is working steps 10, 11, and 12. We can't give away what we don't have. And we keep doing it every single day. We don't take breaks. We don't take breaks from service. We don't take breaks from our abstinence. We don't take breaks from our phone calls. We keep on going every single day. And weirdly, the more we give as we go along, the easier it gets. At least it does for me. It just becomes more of a habit and a more way of life. It says there's action and more action. And it's true. We just keep on going. But it's like when you find out we have more time to do it. My sponsor always said only the disciplined are free. And that's what all this is about for me. So, and I'm going to say I love the next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. If you have any addiction, admit you're powerless and then carry the message. And I'll pass. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Kathy Jo P. Who else would like to comment on these two tiny paragraphs that are full of great
information?
Kelly P.
Sunny S.
Miranda.
Patty T.
Kelly P.
Wow. All right. Let's see. Didn't do too good. I think I heard Marin K, Kelly T, Patty, and that's all I got.
Sunny S.
Sunny S.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Barbara E.
I thought I heard Barbara E. out there, but thought I'd make sure. Okay. Anybody else?
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O. All right. So, Patty, I don't have the first initial of your last name. You can let us know as you come up. So, and if I got anything wrong here with your initials, please forgive me and correct me as we go down the line here. I think it was, not Marion.
Marin.
Marin. Thank you. Can't read my own writing. Marin K, followed by Kelly T, Patty, Sunny, Donna, Deborah, and Kathleen O. Please go ahead, Marin.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thank you, Melon, for chairing the meeting. Everybody on the line, yes, we are a village, and I need a village to stay abstinent. We alcoholics are undisciplined. When I was out there in my disease, I never had the tools or the roadmap that we get when we get into the program by working the steps and being in the program of how to stay abstinent. We get tools, we get ways of staying sane by working with others, by working the steps, by calling people, by being in the moment, by talking to your sponsor. We're undisciplined. I speak for myself as I never was disciplined about, what to do around my eating disorder. We let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. For me, God is, good orderly direction. And I know that action and more action is what is needed. Even as I am now 24 years abstinent, I know I need more action. I need to always take more action because there's more that comes up. And faith without works is dead. I have to keep working with others. I have to keep working the steps. I have to keep transforming myself every day and only with the help of other of us, my fellows, to make it through the hard times, both good, the good and the bad, because things happen in the years that I've been abstinent. And it's important to have a really strong program. So for anyone who's new and doesn't understand what I said, don't worry about it. You will one day. And if you don't understand, just keep coming back. And thank you very much for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Marin K. Kelly T., you're up next, followed by Patty.
Good morning. My name is Kelly T. Thank you for your service and everyone in the line. Every time I hear Death Without Works is Dead, I actually write that down on my night reviews, because I have to remind myself every night, every day, that if I don't do my part, I don't take action for my recovery, then it's pointless. I'm going to go back to the food. And it's a daily reprieve. Every day I have to humble myself. I do it at night that I write it down, because I used to be a binge eater at night. So before going to bed, to turn that over and say that quote, it soothed me to feel that my higher power is taking care of me. I don't have to be fear of going to bed anymore, because the food doesn't control me anymore. I have a higher power that is stronger, more powerful than the food, the disease, the mental obsession. And I'm just grateful that, you see, I never had the issue with doing the work. I've always been hardworking. My issue was outside issues that I had to deal with and take care of it in order for me to work the program, because I was so far gone with the sexual abuse as a child and all this dysfunctional family, that I really needed to have it, you know, the therapist and the program. I couldn't do it just without the program. I needed both together. And by doing both work in the program and outside of the program, I was able to be free and do the steps. And today is a year and over 4 months, and I'm so grateful for that envision. And there's no other way. It's either do the work or complain and be stuck in the food. I only have two options. Which heart do I want? And I always go for the doing the work, because it's less painful than being in the food. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Kelly T. Patty, would be great to get the first initial of your last name. Sorry I missed it. We'll be followed by Sunny F.
Hi, this is Patty T. from Southern California.
Thank you.
Gosh, so great to be back on the line with all of you, and thank you all for your service. You know, I love the first part. We alcoholics are undisciplined. You know, I didn't even know what discipline was. And then later it talks about, so we let God discipline us. Discipline, the way I grew up, was punishment. And there was never any explanation behind it. There was no reason. You know, some adult didn't like what you did, and so, you know, you were punished for it. And a lot of that punishment was around my food, because I was a compulsive overeater from a very young age. And it took the form of some serious abuse and borderline sexual abuse, I suppose. At any rate, since I've worked this program, I understand that God disciplines us in the simple way that we've just outlined. You know, and the outline is in this book. That's what I'm discovering, and only now. You know, who knew that this was just, I mean, you've heard it, but who actually knew that this was actually a user's manual to how to get a life? You know, I didn't understand that it was all outlined very simply here, and that my higher power would use one of you or all of you or each of you at any given time to assist me in understanding the why and wherefore of how to do this. Not the why it all happened and am I like that and all that stuff. I lived in that. But to get out of that and to learn how to move forward. And, you know, this this How It Works chapter and Into Action, they're both just so amazing, and I can't wait to move forward. So have a great week, everybody. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Patty T. Sonia S., you're up next, followed by Donna B. Sonia. I thought I heard Sonia S. in the lineup.
Hello, this is Sonia S. from Colorado. Can I be heard?
Yes, yay, thank you.
Hi, sorry about that, I got muted. So this is a very powerful paragraph. We alcoholics are undisciplined. I mean, I think about how, even faith without work is dead. Like, I think about Bill's story and, you know, how quickly the deceased thinking creeps in. You know, like, he even quotes, this is on page 15, that even being abstinent, like being alcohol-free, he was being plagued by ways of self-pity and resentment. And then it says, work with other alcoholics would save the day. And how true that was for me, too. This is a program of action, and in order to be emotionally, spiritually sober, I have to follow simple steps. And these simple steps are take a lot less effort than how unmanageable my life used to be. You know, it's simple, like start the day, end the day with recovery, and during the day, you know, stay connected. And, you know, relating to my own experience, I know that when I finished the 12 steps, I called it a break. I said, oh, you know, I worked so hard, I'm just going to take a few minutes of break, you know, and I'll raise my hands in the meetings where, you know, everyone can see that I'm open to sponsor. But that wasn't enough, you know, and it just freaking like creeped on me so quickly where I started being completely focused on myself, completely focused on how can I get people to do what I want in order to feel loved and the pain that brings. Because nothing is ever going to be enough. No one can do that for me. And the minute that, you know, my sponsor called me out on it, she's like, you're not working with others. So no wonder that your life is starting to become unmanageable. And I said, wow, yeah, that could be true. And so I started sponsoring and I started sharing meetings and I started to show up to take action, just like it says in this paragraph. And the change has been immense. I mean, in 3 days, the amount of freedom that I felt again, it's just like flying. And it just takes carrying the message, 10, 11, and 12. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sunny S. Donna B., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Barbara E. Star 1 to unmute, Donna.
This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. There's action and more action. To me, this is a really interesting sentence. I have been a person all my life who has been compulsive about doing, and overdoing. And so when I read this sentence in the context of these paragraphs, it really helps me to differentiate that this isn't telling me to just keep doing stuff. This isn't telling me to just continue to distract myself by being compulsively busy with chores and getting the high of just crossing things off of my list. It's alluding to very specific action. It's the action of working the steps. And as many others have already said, it is the action of working with others. I've recently completed being guided through the steps and am now available to sponsor. And I can honestly say that I have fear and reservation about working with others. But my fear of not working with others is greater than the fear I have of being in insufficient big book guide for others in the program. I have not completed all the amends in my ninth step. I have started them. The ones that are left on my list are the ones that have been on my list over and over and over again. And I've reached a point in my recovery and in my program that there are no more note cards left. There are no more words left to go back to the same people and say, I've harmed you, I regret, I'm sorry, whatever words I use. And in prayer yesterday, what came clear to me is that I believe that my step 12 and my step 9 is going to be so intricately intertwined that as I learn to work with others, as I'm guided by my higher power to address a history of codependency with others and to really show up in the way that the chapter working with others advises me to, the way that my sponsor is encouraging me to work with others, that through that process, I will learn, actually be transformed to be able to make the living amends that just linger in my ninth step. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Donna B. Barbara E., you're up next, followed by Kathleen O.
Thank you. May I be heard?
Yes, you may, Barbara. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. It's such an honor and a privilege to actually get to share on this meeting, because usually I listen in the Anytime app because I'm out and about. But these two short paragraphs are so important to me because by nature I like to follow directions, but I'm also oppositional. So if you tell me I must do something, I say no. And I'm the kind of person that wants to read the end of a literature book to make sure everything works out in the end. And I feel like a character in When Harry Met Sally. But I do love that this is a textbook, that it tells us about my powerlessness and my allergy and my mental problem. And then it gives me the hope that there's a solution and that I have to be willing to open the door a crack. And if I'm willing to open the door a crack, to consider the possibility of a higher power that's not my refrigerated, I can be rocketed into that fourth dimension, or at least taking the slow local route into that fourth dimension by doing 4 and 9. But my objective is to constantly work on my personal relationships, and I needed to work very diligently on prayer and meditation, because that's not something that comes easily to me, but it has helped. And I can't wait to get into working with others, because that's where it all started for me. The privilege of working with others always gave me so much more than I got from it. And I heard someone say several days ago about wearing their life like a loose garment. Living by self-will is like wearing too tight pair of jeans where you have to lie down on the bed and to zip that zipper up. So step 11, that prayer and meditation, enables me to wear my loose, comfortable muumuu. And I love this program. I love listening to it. It gives me the hope to go on, to remain abstinent, not to get sloppy, because I've always felt the further away I was from a binge, the closer I was away from the binge, both physically, mentally, and spiritually. And I want to be equally balanced. So thank you for allowing me this privilege to share with you, and I eagerly look forward to the rest of your shares. I pass.
Thank you very much, Barbara E. Kathleen O., you're up next, and then we'll open for some new shares.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. This is Kathleen O, recovered in Northern California. We alcoholics are undisciplined. Wow, that is the truth. You know, when I experience emotions of fear, anger, worry, self-pity, making decisions that I'm going to end up regretting, that is the definition. I mean, I just go to being undisciplined when I experience those things. So how do I get disciplined? I follow the directions in the 11th step. And, you know, using that nugget and taking the pause, which saves me from saying or doing things I'm going to regret. And when I'm agitated or doubtful, which can happen numerous times throughout the day, I pause and ask for the right thought or action. And when I face indecisions, I ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought or a decision. You know, my intentions are not good enough. I've got to take the right action. And this chapter is called Into Action. So, sorry, my dogs are going nutty. So I strive for discipline. When anger, worry, self-pity crop up, and, you know, discipline to get out of the driver's seat and let my higher power be in control. I pray and meditate every morning, and I take inventory every night. And, you know, could I have done things better? Was I patient, kind, loving, and tolerant? And that sweet little sentence, faith without works is dead, you know, in it's believing, having faith, believing this is going to work, being convinced it's going to work. It's not enough. I've got to do the work. And I can't just do the work and not have the faith either, because work without faith is also dead. If I'm just being abstinent and, you know, listening to meetings, I'm going to relapse. That's happened to me before. I've got to do both. I can't just do one. So I'm dead if I only have faith, and I'm dead if I only have to do the work. And if I don't have both, I'll be crazy in the head again. I'll be acting the way I used to when things didn't go my way. And I'll never be perfect, which is why we told progress, not perfection. And I think I'm getting close to my end. Tell me when I'm done, Elaine, because I didn't time myself. So a day at a time, remembering I'm powerless over food and people, paying attention to fears and resentments, doing a 10 step if I harm someone, just following these directions. I'm promised so many things, including happiness, joy, and freedom. And I'm not promised everything's going to be perfect, but speaking from experience, things are a heck of a lot better and more perfect than they ever were when I was in the food. And I pass. Thank you so much.
Perfect timing, Kathleen. So we are finishing up the chapter Into Action on page 88 by commenting on the final two paragraphs, the second paragraph to the end of the book. We alcoholics are undisciplined through entirely devoted to step 12. And who would like to share?
Miranda F.
Mo H. Julie P.
Lisa J.R.
Sherry K.B.
Julie P. Lisa J.R. Sherry K.B. That's what I got. And
Eileen S.
Eileen S. I think
Ginger
we
C.
may have
Deborah G.
C. Okay. I know we have more people than we will have time for, and so we'll see how we do. Okay. So Miranda R. Mo H. Jenny, Julie,
Julie P.
I know, Julie P. Lisa J. R. And Sherry K. B. Eileen S. Ginger C. Barbara Deborah G. We definitely won't get to all of you, but let's see how we do. Starting with Miranda R. Followed by Mo H. Please go ahead, Miranda.
Thank you. This is Miranda S. As in Sam. And I'm calling from Minnesota. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And there's been moments in the big book when I'm newish to program, even though I'm recovered. I want to put that out there. I just started last December. And there were moments in reading the book that stopped me dead in my tracks. And the word discipline in this paragraph is one of those moments. So when I read, like, we alcoholics or compulsive overeaters are undisciplined, I just stopped, and I just sat with that for a minute, because I flashed back immediately to a time when I was about 8 or 9, and I remember some adult in my life asked me, well, what do you want to be when you get older? And I remember thinking, when I said to them, I'm not sure what I want to be for sure, but I know that, like, after high school, I'd really love to go into the military because I need discipline. And they looked at me like I was completely wackadoo, because I was an amazing student. I babysat kids in the neighborhood since a very young age. I was anything but undisciplined in their eyes, in the way that we understood the word discipline then. But I knew, even as a child, that the way I acted around food was not the way I saw other people acting around food. And I felt that compulsion within me even from a young age. And the only thing I could think of is, like, if I could only get some, like, discipline, then I would get it almost, like, beaten out of me. Like, really, that's what I thought. And I thought, well, a way to do that would be the military. Like, go to boot camp. They're going to be regimented about everything and disciplined. And so that's what I told that adult. And again, they thought I was crazy from that. So fast forward 30-some years later, and I'm sitting and I'm reading this part of the book, and I just stop. And I'm like, this is exactly what I felt. And the reason, again, I said, you know, I'm newish, is that even though as I was reading up to this page, I still wasn't fully sure if, like, this was for me, you know, even though I was doing things and having faith and taking action, I wasn't totally, totally sure. But this was one of those, like, red letter moments where I could not ignore the fact that this memory about discipline stood out my whole life. And here it is right in front of me. So these nuggets are part of what kept me going in program and just propelled program and recovery. So there's so much more to say, but that's really the thing that stood out to me this morning. So thank you for the opportunity to share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Miranda S. Mo H., you're up next, followed by Julie P.
Hey, good morning. This is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater from Northern California. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, great. Thanks, Elaine, for your service and all those on the line. I really tried to get on last week, especially around the reading about pause, but I'm usually out running at this time, and I couldn't get my phone to work. I'm so grateful to be on the line today. So I don't have my book in front of me, and please time me, Elaine. We alcoholics are undisciplined. Well, the first thought that came to my mind is I was a very disciplined person. I was a dancer from the age 3 up, dancing lessons, practicing, shows. And there was a time for everything, a time to do my homework, a time to go to the dancing lesson, a time to practice, a time to eat. And so I felt myself as a very disciplined person. But when it came to the food, when I became a teenager, and a young adult, I was very undisciplined. I did not know what 3 meals a day meant. I just thought eating all day was okay. And I didn't learn about 3 meals a day until I married. And my husband on our honeymoon, you know, would say, okay, let's have breakfast. And then there'd be a break. And then he'd say, it's time for lunch. And I go, what? I was just really confused. I mean, that's how undisciplined I was around the food. Not to say that my parents didn't give me 3 meals a day, but I became undisciplined. That was all the diets and all of that helped me somewhat, but not until I really found this meeting 2.5 years ago and really tightened up my program is what happened for me. And so now I have a very disciplined program. And I have sponsees, which is the delight of my day, and to be reading the big book with them. And I do my 3 meals a day, weighed and measured with nothing in between is my meal plan. And there was a point in my many years in the program that I became too much involved in service. And what I figured out after I relapsed was the service was the business part of the program at the intergroup and region levels. And I became too involved in that, and I let go of my personal program. I have to have a balance. between self-care and caring for others, between my program giving service to me and helping others and giving service to others. And that balance is very important for me. And then the last thing I want to comment on is that pause button has been a life-saving event for me, in that I learned a long time ago that restraint of tongue was a very powerful tool. And I use that a lot, and it really helps. But now, instead of using restraint of tongue and getting angry inside, I use restraint of tongue and let go and let it be.
Center reminder.
Or, okay, use restraint of tongue and do a 10-step if need be. And thank you, Elaine. I pass.
Thank you so much, Mo H. And, excuse me, Julie P., you're up next, followed by Lisa J.R.
Hi, this is Julie P.
Hello?
Okay. So, undisciplined. Yeah. Undisciplined. Well, when I heard discipline and faith and work, I was like, oh, really? I have to do all three of those? Okay, here we go. You know, and for me, I'm a lazy person. I don't want to do this work, you know, and it's like, I wanted to be, I wanted to eat what I want and do what I want and not have to work at it too hard, and I wanted to just look great and feel great. And I'm like, ah, that's right. That's what they say, you know, it work. I'm like, oh, that's what it is. Okay, so, you know, I've been listening to a vision for a couple weeks now, and I've got like 9, 10 days abstinent from sugar, flour, wheat right now. And I also, I cut out the caffeine, which that was a horrible, hard thing to do. It was like a big withdrawal. But I did it with a vision for you. And every day I've been listening, and it was a perfect place for me to come in at 10, 11, and 12. And I've worked the steps in another program, and I sponsor another program. But I haven't been working with my people in OA. And after getting all these outreach calls and talking to people, I've started recording my food and talking to others and praying. And I don't want to lie on the meditating. Yeah, I've been, been skipping out on that a little bit. But, trying to get quiet, you know, so I can hear. It's all about relationships, you know. When I'm focusing on others as far as what they're doing, that's when I need to look at myself, take some self-care. If I'm actually reaching out to others, then that's when the true service begins for me, you know. And just saying, hey, how are you doing? How's your food going? You know, this is what I ate today. It just that little willingness for me has been the key, because I keep going to meetings and I keep saying, okay, yeah, we're all going to call each other. And then I never do. And so for me, calling and actually looking at what I'm eating on a daily basis has been just huge. And I'm so excited that I found this vision for you. I'm going to New Hampshire for a week, and I will be listening while I'm there.
Reminder.
Thank you. And when I come back, I'm going to get a sponsor and start doing the steps in the vision for you. So I'm really excited. So thanks for letting me share that. I'll pass.
That's great. Glad you're here. Thank you very much, Julie P. and Lisa J.R. You're up next, followed by Sherry K.B. We've got about 5.5 minutes, so please go ahead, Lisa J.R.
Thank you very much, moderator. I'm Lisa J.R., gratefully recovered for today. Love the end of this chapter. It's phenomenal. I love the text, Faith Without Works is Dead. Being a low-bottom, sicko, compulsive overeater, disciplined in every other area of my life except diet, I never could gentle down this disease and work with it. It was always wild and out of control. So here I came, crawling into the rooms of OA and grateful to find vision. But I've noticed one funny thing as I've spent some years sponsoring, and that is that that works part of it. That, you know, people often use that phrase as a hook. And I heard somebody share that, well, I'm doing intergroup work. I'm doing this, that, and the other thing. I'm moderating. I'm carrying the message by speaking on meetings. So I'm on meetings every day, and I'm a meeting maker. But, I'm really a busy person. I really don't have time for carrying the message on a one-on-one basis. And, you know, the technology's great that we have these phone meetings, but we got to get old school and really start the one-on-one. For those of you that aren't sponsoring whatever, the real blessings get poured out in the sponsoring part of this program. Yeah, it's nice to speak, and it's nice to carry the message on the phone line, but, the real work in carrying the message one-on-one in that intimate setting where we can read the book with somebody and guide them through, it only strengthens us. That book gets into our marrow, because I was like, I'm going to get a little osmosis from listening to Harlan and Kim and Kathleen O and people like that, and I'm going to get this osmosis happening if I just make these meetings. But no, you know, that was all fine and good, and they blessed me greatly. All you lovely people on the line have blessed me greatly, but where the real magic happened was working vigorously with others, and I am holding on to that as tight as I can. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lisa J.R. And Sherry K.B., you're going to be our last share for today. And thank you so much for everybody who wanted to comment on this line. Please go ahead, Sherry.
Elaine, I'll go ahead and pass and let someone else do it.
Oh, you're so thoughtful, Sherry. Thank you. Eileen S., you're up next then. And you will finish us up today.
Okay, thank you very much. This is Eileen S. in Portland, Oregon. Can you hear me okay?
I can, thank you.
Great, thank you. Thank you, Sherry. That was really generous of you. Thank you, everybody on the line. I had already sort of resigned myself. Well, I won't be able to share today, but I guess that's what's supposed to be. So, okay. First of all, I just want to say, I keep forgetting to do this. My name is Eileen, and I spell it I-L-E-N-E. Not that I'm thinking anybody wants to call me, but just in case. Okay. So I love the part about we alcoholics are undisciplined. It's really interesting. I was very disciplined in other areas of my life. I had a business. I did all that. But disciplined about food and even for myself, you know, I could discipline and work hard for others. But to value myself enough to do this and take care of myself was really challenging for me. And I just love how it says, it talks about discipline. And I had a sponsor quite a few years ago before I got into visions, but somebody who was very important to me in my life. She said, the 12 steps are a program of discipline and action. And I never forgot that. Not that I follow it all the time, that's for sure. But I always remember, she said, it's a program of discipline and action about everything. And part of the discipline for me at this time around with my sponsor and working in visions, which has changed my life and my program, is I call my sponsor at a specific time. I call her on time. And she also, when I first started working with her, she asked me to text my food to her, and I would forget, and I would say, oops, sorry. And she would say to me, Eileen, this is a discipline. And she was gentle about it, but she was firm about it. And that was really good for me to hear. It's important for me to be able to keep my word and do what I say I'm going to do. And part of that is the discipline of, sorry, I'm going to go in the other room. My dog is barking. it was important for me to keep my word about that and do what she asked me to do. And that becomes part of the esteemable acts. Sorry, I got distracted. Anyway, again, you know, for me also discipline is about, you know, doing a 10 step when I need to, and I don't always do that. So I'm a work in progress, as we say. A friend of mine and I like to say, God's not done with me yet. I got distracted, sorry. And I only want to say one other quickie thing. I don't know if this is okay to say, but I'm in Portland, Oregon. We are starting an OA Big Book Study meeting this coming Wednesday night. If you want to find out more about it, please give me a call. And I'm just so grateful to Visions. I love being on the line with all of you every day. It just starts my day up so beautifully. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Eileen S. And for everybody who has shared, great meeting. We'll now transition by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kathleen O. please read a vision for you?
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.